Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles this morning to Romans 10:17, a familiar verse in this meeting. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So lately I've been kind of busy with things in the sound room. We've got new equipment in there, trying to figure out how to do cabling and learn how to use it and instruct and test it and experiment and all these kind of things. And, you know, a lot of hours spent on that. And not just me, a lot of men together and women with that. So, but the purpose of that is that we might hear in this place. We might hear the singing, the instruments, and, of course, the preaching of the word. And in the Old Testament, David, it says he appointed singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, lifting up the voice with joy, praising the Lord. And this is a wonderful thing when you can hear that kind of a thing, and it sounds good through the system. Once in a while, though, there's things that'll happen that might cause a little feedback or something, like a few weeks ago. I think Ty's still upset with me on that one. So, you know, we make mistakes. We're human. But, you know, the goal is to have it to sound well, and not just for the meeting here, but recordings and online streaming. We try to our best to make it sound good. And then in the New Testament, Paul told the Colossians that they were to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you think about that. The songs are not just something we sing as, la 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 song. These can teach us wonderful things and admonish one another if it's a spiritual song. And then you take some of the songs in this Grace and Glory songbook, and the word of God that's in one song is a sermon. And it will definitely admonish you and instruct you and teach one another. So the word of God that comes forth in a sermon or a song like that is something that can be a wonderful blessing. And so we try to get the sound system working where it is pleasant to listen to. But the most important thing is though, the word of God. As our verse says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It needs to be the word of God that's going to give us any faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. He sees faith. And if you don't have faith, you're not pleasing him. So we need to hear the word of God to get faith. And a good way to hear the word of God is we have Wednesday nights here at Bible study. That's a great way to hear the word of God. And then Sunday morning here, preaching a sermon. And you would think, this guy up here preaching a sermon? Well, God chose the foolishness of preaching to bring forth his word. And here in Romans chapter 10, let's just back up to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a wonderful verse. I don't want to just pass over that lightly. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not any works that we've done. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. He did it all. He paid the price. And all he wants us to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe. I want you to be my Savior. And then you're saved. It's calling on the name of the Lord. It's a free gift. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the word of God needs to be preached. And, excuse me, God doesn't choose many intelligent, handsome, educated, mighty, noble, eloquent people to preach. You know, here I am. Right? But it's because we don't want to have our eyes on the vessel, the person bringing forth the word, and say like, oh, that guy really has a, you know, silver tongue and he can bring it forth. And it's not that. Our eyes need to be on the Lord. And it's kind of back to the thing with the sound room. When you hear the song or whatever, you don't look back and say, guys, you did a great job in the sound room. It sounds good. You especially if they're singing what they should be, you're not even looking at the singers. You're thinking of the Lord and what he's done for you. Like this song today, his eye is on me. And he He's watching me, and he sees the sparrow. And these are scriptures that encourage our faith. So that's when, as far as the same with preaching, you don't want the preacher to be the one that everybody's occupied with. It's the Word of God and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but hearing, so talking about hearing, hearing is a little more than going in one ear and out the other. And I have an example of that this week. I had a chiropractor appointment, and my wife told me, your appointment's at 10 o'clock. Okay, so I go off to work, and about 10 after 10, I'm thinking, I better get going. My appointment's at 10:30. I need to get there. So I'm driving along, and she calls me. They're wondering where you're at. I'm on my way. Too late. Turn around, go back. Your appointment was at 10 o'clock, not 10:30. I didn't hear her very well. I wasn't listening. And I think, you know, a lot of women can say their husbands, you know, I'm not the only one. Right? We don't always listen. So hearing's more than just letting it go in one ear and out the other. But now, women can do this too. My wife was once asking questions at the church camp. We were playing Bible trivia, and I was in one of the teams, and she's calling out the question, and I knew the answer. And I was like, say it was Mephibosheth or something. So she's asking, and people are yelling out the answer. I said, Mephibosheth. And she's just, you know, who is Mephibosheth? And I said, she's not hearing me. Say Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. That's it. She just tuned me right out. Did not hear me. So, okay, so it goes both ways. So hearing's more than just, you know, in one ear and out the other. In fact, Hebrews 4:2, let me just turn there. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you have to take it in. Hearing means to hearken, to listen to what you hear, to obey. It's more than just saying, yeah, I heard that. It's like, yes, I'm listening. I'm obeying. It's got my attention. And also in Hebrews 3:15 says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And that provocation, if you're not familiar what this is talking about, is when the Lord brought the children of Egypt out of Israel. No. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, were you all paying attention? I was the only one that messed it up. Anyway, so he had them, they were slaves there. And the Lord brought these 10 plagues upon Pharaoh in Egypt and mighty things. And Pharaoh finally said, okay, get out. And they left and they came to the Red Sea. The Lord opened the sea. They went through on dry ground. And Pharaoh came with his host, and the Lord just had the waters close in and drown them. And then they went into the wilderness, and the Lord brought manna for them to eat. And he had water come from a rock for them to drink. He led them in by day in a pillar of cloud to keep them cool in that desert. And then at night with a pillar of fire to keep them warm, give them light. And all these things. And then he brings them up to the land of Canaan, and he says, now go ahead and send some spies in, see what it is. And they sent in 12 spies, and 2 came back with a good report, but 10 came back with an evil report. And it turned the hearts of the people, and they said, well, the Lord brought us out here to kill us, so let's just turn back and go to Egypt. And that really provoked the Lord, and that's what this is talking about. They heard the Lord, they saw the marvelous things he'd done, but when it came time to really trust the Lord, they said, no, those giants are too much for us. They're going to kill us. We need to turn back and go to Egypt. And that provoked the Lord. And he said, okay, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years then, until you all pass away and your children will bring them in. So we don't want to be like that. If we hear the word of the Lord, don't harden your heart like that. They harden their hearts. We have a choice to either have a tender heart and say, yes, Lord, I believe this word is true. Or you can say, no, I don't believe that. Lord, even though he proved it over and over and over to him and mighty, wonderful things that no one else could do, they still didn't believe him. So that's a hard heart. So don't have a hard heart when you hear the word of God. Now, if you turn over to Matthew 13, Ty's been talking about the parables of Luke, and want to read about what the purpose of parables is. So Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not and hearing, or seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." So he said that the parables, many people think it was the Lord giving an example that would explain a truth, but it was something that was hid from these people that weren't there to hear. If they didn't have ears to hear, they weren't going to understand it. And that's the way the Word of God is. It's something that you have to have the spiritual enlightenment to understand it, to see it, and to hear it. But Jesus said, and I could say this for us here today, "Blessed are your eyes for what they see, and your ears for they hear." And the psalmist even said, I have it here, "Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound." And we're a blessed people. We get to hear the Word of God. The things that, again, the Old Testament prophets the holy men, they wanted to see, they wanted to look into these things, and the Lord said, "No, that's not for you. That's for the people that are going to live in the church age." That's when this thing got opened up to us. Then the Holy Spirit came and just shed the light on the Word of God and revealed that all these things that happened in the Old Testament were concealed, and they're going to be opened up and revealed in the New Testament. So we are blessed, a blessed people for sure. And the gospel is the good news. So aren't you glad we get to hear the good news? So again, with the Word of God, you need to do more than just hear it. You must believe it. And Jesus even said that if as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And he said it many times when people would come to him and they needed a miracle from the Lord. And he'd say, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. There was a man that came to Jesus with his son that was possessed with a demon. And he said, "Lord, this demon is tearing him up, throwing him, trying to kill him. And, you know, if you can do anything, have compassion on us." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him but that believes." It was if Jesus was possible, it's with, do you believe? And the man said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." He cried out in tears. He loved his child and wanted it to be his child to be healed. And the Lord did cast out that demon and healed him. So, but we need to believe. And another place it says, Jesus did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. So when people don't believe the Lord, you're limiting him to what he wants to do for you. The wonderful things that he would love to do. God loves to give to us and to do things for us. But if you refuse him, that stops him there. Don't do that. Believe that. You can't believe the Lord too much. We heard about someone that said to Brother Copley, you know, "You believe too much." Well, 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love believeth all things," right? All things in the Word of God we believe. So the Word of God, though, it's going to have an effect on you when you hear it. You're not going to be indifferent. It's going to either, you'll believe it and accept it, and it'll change you for the better, or you refuse it, turn away from it, and you'll suffer loss for that. You're not going to be unchanged. You'll be unchanged by some man's statement to you, or, you know, some worldly statement. might not affect you at all, but the Word of God, it's alive, it's powerful, and it's going to have an effect on you one way or the other. And then if you believe it, God shows you the light, he'll give you more light, more to believe. In fact, here in that Matthew 13, that parable, when Jesus explained about parables, in verse 12, he said, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance." So if you believe the Word of God, take it in, he'll give you more. There's always more. Isn't that wonderful about the Lord? Our sister here being 97, there's more. You know, Methuselah, whatever, there's more. You can live to be whatever, and there's going to be more. The Lord's going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace for eternities to come, the kindness that he has towards us. So the things that he's worked in our lives, that we can rejoice and glorify God for what he's done in all our lives for eternity. It's never going to get old. And besides, Jesus is the creator of everything. And if he wants to make something new, he just speaks it into existence. Things you've never seen or heard. And that's what heaven's going to be. The things that have not entered in, even into our imagination, we're going to see and behold wonderful things. And we're going to be like him so we can handle it. We can have spiritual bodies that can withstand it. So I'm looking forward to that, actually. Talk about, you know, the verse in the study this morning was, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And some people look at that and like, well, no, I don't want to die. Well, I don't really necessarily want to die, but I want to be with Jesus. That's far better. I'd rather be caught up in the rapture. But, you know, to die is gain. We're going to be with him and see him face to face. Hallelujah. So don't refuse the light because you won't grow. And don't stop with the milk of the word. The Bible talks about there being the milk of the word and milks for babies. But then it also talks about the strong meat of the word. And that's for mature adults. So we want to go on to have the strong meat of the word. Let's turn over to Acts 19 and see a little example of this. Of taking in more than just the milk. Acts 19, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So here was something that these disciples had not heard about. They had not heard about the Holy Ghost. And Paul told them, and they believed, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's one step when we go on with the Lord. When you hear something, it's like, remember Herb Hill? He would hear something like, he'd heard a sermon about whosoever believeth in the Lord shall be saved, you know, as we read earlier. And he says, the Bible says that? Yeah. Well, then I believe it. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And that's it. He's saved. And then another time he heard a sermon like this one about being filled with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, he's our comforter, our teacher. He will guide us into all the truth. He'll show us the things of Christ. And he wants to fill us, not just be with us, but be in us. So we're full of the Holy Ghost. And Herb says, the Bible says that? Well, I want that. And he was filled. And that's how it is with God. When you hear the truth like that, and you just say, yes, Lord, I want that. You have that for me. You've given that to me as a gift. I want it. But there's people that refuse it. You know that. That people say, no, the Holy Ghost that went out with the apostles or that's of the devil, it's that. And they miss out. That brings them to a point where they stop. They don't grow. And I've known people that like that, that have been Christians for many, many years, but they don't believe in receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They think you can lose your salvation. And they just remain babes. They just don't go on. So you want to take in what the Bible says the Word of God is, and then you'll grow. You won't be stopped. You'll go on to grow, even unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So in the book of Revelation, we read this statement over and over. Him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit is speaking, and we need to have spiritual ears to understand it. If you're not born again, as Kevin prayed about that, being born again, you cannot understand the Bible. You can read it, you can memorize it, but you're not going to understand it because it's not for natural man to understand. It takes spiritual understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit inspired men to write this book. This wasn't just written by men that had some idea and they put it down. The holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the things they did here. And if you really want to know the truth of these things, you need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see it. He's the author of it. So let's turn over to Amos chapter 8. And it's telling us the day we live in here. Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And, you know, that's the day we live in. There's, sometimes this gets quoted as, there's a famine for the word of God. Well, the word of God's all over. You can get it, Bibles everywhere. You can get audio, like Brother Ty mentioned this morning. Even if you can't read, you can get an audio Bible. You can hear it. You can hear the word of God. But people aren't hearing it. It's not being preached. Many modern day preachers, you know, we talked about the sound and the music and such, which is a blessing. But a lot of assemblies, that's their emphasis. They'll have 45 minutes of singing and playing instruments and music, and then 10, 15 minutes of preaching. And, you know, in their place, everything's proper. But when you overemphasize the one, because that can just get to be a feeling, especially if, as I've said, if it's not a spiritual song, it's not going to do you any good. You might feel good, but it's not going to do you any good for the long haul. So it's the word of God being preached that matters. Preachers will get up and talk about a book they wrote, or they'll say, you know, I've got this program that you can sign up for, and it'll take you on and increase your faith or something. It's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be the Word of God. It can't be something some man put together. And Paul charged Timothy. He said, preach the Word. Now, he didn't just say, Timothy, I encourage you to preach the Word. He charged him. He said, I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ that you preach the Word. Because people, you know, especially in these days, they get caught off and they want to hear something different. And so a preacher might say, well, I'm losing my congregation. It's not as big as I want it to be. So I'm not going to preach that. I'm going to preach something that'll draw them in here. I'll get some celebrity or something. And it's a sad thing. Preach the word. And if people that want to hear it will come. And if they don't, you know, that's the Lord's business. He draws hearts. Our emphasis here is on the word of God. And Paul also said he kept back nothing that was profitable for them. Again, some preachers would not want to preach the deeper things of God, the doctrine, and they won't make a stand because it might offend someone. Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable for you. I gave you all the things that the Lord showed me to give to you. He declared unto them all the counsel of God. And isn't that wonderful that we don't have to wonder, like, you know, did Paul miss something here? Is there... You know, it's not complete. No, Colossians tells us that he fulfilled the word of God, his preaching. The gospel that the Lord gave to Paul fulfills the word of God. And we have it all things. And how wonderful that is. We how blessed we are to be living in this time, in this age, to have everything given to us. The Old Testament, the New Testament, amazing. The Holy Spirit to fill us, enlighten our eyes. But there's more deeper things, too, than just being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the purpose of this age right now. And let's turn over to Revelation chapter 19. So you want to start out with getting saved, of course. You have to start there. But then going on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then taking in the Word of God and growing. Taking in the strong meat. And then we come to Revelation 19. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This Lamb is Jesus, the Lamb of God. And have you not heard? Jesus is going to have a wife. You're hearing it today if you hadn't heard it before. And the Bible goes into this almost from cover to cover about the wife of the Lamb. That's what the purpose and plan is of God from before the foundation of the world, that this man, Jesus, should not be alone, that he would have a spouse. And this is us, is offered to us. And you might say, well, that's too much to believe. Well, if it is, you're going to miss out. It's not too much to believe because God said it. And when he says something, you can believe it. And Jesus loves you, and not just as a love that, you know, he loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. But he loves us as a husband would love a wife, that closest, greatest love that one could have for another. And he wants you to receive this. So you're hearing this morning, and you have a choice to accept it, that, yes, I want to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. He proposed to me, and I'm saying I do. And that's it. It's not any of our works again. He's the one that's going to get it done. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that's begun it. He's the beginning, the ending, and he's provided it all. Everything we need. The song again this morning, his eyes on the sparrow. The Lord provides the food for the sparrow. And Jesus said, aren't you, you're worth many sparrows. So that we are great in the sight of the Lord. We're his greatest creation is man. And not the planets and, you know, solar systems and everything out there. It's man, the work he's doing in us, because we're made in the image of God. And we can grow up and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to marry someone that's mature. He's not going to marry a baby. He's going to marry someone that's grown up and can fellowship with him and understand him and love him like he loves them and love one another. So I pray that this has been an encouragement to you as the Lord has brought forth the gospel message, the good news, and we've heard it. Let's believe it. Go on to have God's best. So we'll close in prayer and then we'll have some songs. So, oh, Father, thank you for the precious word of God and for the promise we have, Lord, the time we live in, this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the grace and glory message, Lord, that will take us from the guttermost to the uttermost and beyond what we can imagine, Lord. And we know we're not worthy, but you say you make us worthy, Lord, as you are alive in us, Lord, and living, growing, and the Father's seeking those that will worship in spirit and truth. And we just look to you to have your way, complete the good work you've begun, Lord. Keep us looking up, loving your appearing. We know it could be any moment. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.